Hello and welcome to Wild Disabled. My name is Simon Sansom and I've got the fantastic Shannon Murray with me.
Hello,
how are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. You're here to do an interview with me because you're an actress.
I am, yes.
But you're a disabled actress.
I am.
Which is no obscurity in the UK at the moment, but it is getting better.
It is, yes.
Yes. Let's start off at the beginning. Tell the audience what happened.
As to why am I disabled?
Why are you disabled?
I had an accident when I was 14. I was on holiday in the Canary Islands, diving off rocks into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I misjudged and I was diving into sea. I hit my head on rocks and I broke my neck, suffering a spinal cord injury, which left me paralysed in the chest down.
Ouch.
Yeah. So it didn't actually hurt that much at the time.
Did you actually notice it at the time?
Yeah, I knew something was seriously wrong because I was underwater and I couldn't get back out of the water.
Mm, okay. Were you insured?
Yes. I was, thankfully.
Yeah. You've been disabled since you're 14, but since then, you've been quite successful. You know.
Reasonably.
You know, you are a qualified lawyer.
I am, yes.
Excellent. How did that come around? What did you choose to go into law? Has it just happened by accident? Or?
Growing up, all I ever wanted to do was be an actress. And then I had my accident, and because I didn't know or see any other actors with disabilities on screen, I figured it was a non-starter. I'd grown up in and around the media, so I knew I wanted to work in either film or television. So I decided I was going to become a media lawyer.
Okay.
I went to university, did a law degree, then started working full-time.
And then you stopped that and went to become an actress?
Well, I was doing the acting at the same time. So
okay.
I've been doing the acting now, well, professionally, since my first professional gig was 2000.
Okay, so
actually, maybe 99, yeah. Actually. So I've always juggled both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, what I thought was quite impressive is Debenhams.
Oh, right. First disabled person to appear in a high street store fashion campaign.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty good fun.
Do you still do modelling?
Not really, no. I mean, the modelling started back when I won a modelling competition in 1994 to find the UK's first disabled model.
Mm-hmm.
That was launched by The Sun. And it kind of spinning out of that were lots of media appearances. And I was repeatedly asked what I thought about the use of disabled models or disabled actors on screen. And that's how I kind of fell into the campaigning role about the representation of disability in media, which I feel really passionately about, whether it's in film and television or whether it's in advertising, whether it's in corporate organisations.
Last week you were on Victoria Derbyshire, but you were there for a specific reason because you were talking about Barbie dolls having been disabled.
That's right, yes.
Yes.
I think it's really important. I mean, I know Lego have done the occasional nod to disability. Barbie did have a doll years ago, but it was a really patronising take, and she was, you know, Barbie's friend in an awful, you know, tank of a wheelchair with giant handles. So she was very much a passive wheelchair user, where you kind of got, like, you know, Barbie being the Samaritan looking after, I think her name was Becky. Yeah, that's not helpful to anyone. Mm. And then when Mattel launched this wheelchair using Barbie a few weeks ago, they also said in their press statement that in all the requests they had for diversity and changes to make to Barbie dolls, a wheelchair using Barbie was the highest request.
Mm. And they've done it.
They have, finally. And I love that it's, she's an active wheelchair user.
Yeah.
You know, if you're somebody who knows about wheelchairs or uses a wheelchair, she's got a really low backrest, there aren't any handles on the back, she's an independent active wheelchair user.
Yeah. Coming back to what you said a minute ago, changing the subject slightly, is you said you grew up in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And this is quite a big thing. Your dad,
mm-hmm.
yeah, was the manager for the Pogues and Thin Lizzy.
This is correct.
What were your birthdays like?
Funny enough, he wasn't actually around for quite a few of my birthdays, because my birthday's in December, and December is when a lot of bands travel to Australia, New Zealand, and Japan to do their worldwide tours, because you're in the Australian summer. So there were a lot of birthdays that were phone calls, but with really good presents sent over.
I've got to ask this question.
Go ahead.
Does your family have the royalties or some royalties at all to the Fairy Tales of New York?
Not anymore, no.
Not anymore, which means you did.
Well, there's, you know, different managers have different contracts drawn up. And so for a particular period in time, Then Dad, as the manager, would have been receiving certain payments.
Yeah. That would have been nice. Okay. Moving on from that, been a lot of talk in the media with things like Bryan Cranston playing an able man playing a disabled role. Now, you're a disabled actress.
Yeah.
You've appeared in shows like Casualty, Holby City, EastEnders, Silent Witness.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on able people playing disabled roles?
I mean, it's a very, very complex and thorny issue. My instant kind of knee-jerk reaction is I don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. However, as somebody who works in legal and business affairs in media, I understand about the need for productions to make money, to get their investment back, to get a profit. I understand the need for actors to want to stretch themselves and play a role that is completely different to anything they normally experience in their daily life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a bit indulgent, it's a bit of a vanity project to, you know, for most actors, when you want to do something that is so extremely different. Mm-hmm. I see the rationale why you need big names of established actors who, you know, by their very nature are going to be non-disabled, because there aren't any bankable box office disabled names yet, because we don't get the work to prove ourselves.
Mm.
What's interesting to me is how many awards are won by actors playing a disabled role.
Tom Hanks, for example.
Well, there's loads.
Forrest Gump.
There's loads.
Just to name one.
There's Tom Cruise, born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
More than that, it's how much money is generated by films that the storyline has disability at its heart.
Mm.
So, for example, if you have, you know, when you go along to commissioning meetings, you might often get on, yeah, but nobody's interested in disability. Mm. Disability isn't sexy. Disability doesn't sell. Well, I'm sorry, disability does sell, because it was, I read today in the Hollywood Reporter that The Upside, which is this Bryan Cranston film, has just passed 100 million at the box office.
Yeah.
So don't tell me disability doesn't sell. So that he's made money off it.
Yeah.
The production company have made money off it. No disabled people are making money off that.
No. And what you just explained is what's actually happened to me. I, for people who don't know me, I write TV shows, I write films, and I've had that conversation with production companies in the room saying, we want to do this show, but disabled doesn't sell.
You know, I don't need to go and see an actor basically do an impersonation of a disabled person.
Yeah.
Because the thing I find most disappointing about even the most brilliant, brilliant actors doing disability is all their energy is going into playing the disability and not the story, not the emotions of the character.
Yeah.
And half the time, the emotions of the character aren't accurate anyway.
Yeah.
They're not the natural reaction of somebody with a disability.
No, because they don't research people who have disabilities.
No, and they can't move in a chair or do the things that naturally come.
Yeah.
Bryan Cranston isn't going to have the natural tics that you notice
mm.
if you've had, if you're, you know, somebody with spinal cord injury and you've lived with a quadriplegic or you know a quadriplegic.
Mm.
There are certain sounds that you know from either the rhythm of the breathing, the way they'll move, when they can move their shoulders, spasms, all these kind of things. And when you've got an able-bodied actor doing it, it's just not the same.
Mm. Completely agree with you. Now, coming back to things like EastEnders, Holby City, Casualty and Silent Witness.
Yes.
That's some good TV shows you've got going there.
It's a nice little CV.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's your favourite set? What's the best one to work on?
Ooh. Holby City.
Why Holby City? Because is that it's supposed to say one's upstairs, one's downstairs, isn't it, from Casualty?
This is correct.
Yeah. How far closely are they filmed? Or are they on the same set or like next door or something?
I mean, I don't think I'm giving away a particularly huge secret here, but Holby City is filmed in Elstree and Casualty is filmed in Cardiff.
Okay.
So they're quite far away.
So going upstairs and downstairs is not... once you see them going up in the lift...
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they cut scene, transfer over to Cardiff.
Yeah, that's it.
On the bus.
Yeah. But Holby City is an absolutely brilliant cast and crew.
Mm.
Really, really lovely. Every day there was a joy. I did not want to leave, and I was very disappointed when, spoiler alert, I was killed off.
That's good. You can't really return from that, can you?
You can't. I mean, we did talk about the prospect of a ghost, but it didn't get picked up.
So would your full-time best job be working on a soap?
Maybe a soap. I mean, soaps don't get breaks, so it's hard to go off and do other things. If you did like a continual drama series. You know, most actors will tell you they do want a bit of variety.
Mm.
So when you're playing the same person for 20 years.
Yeah.
And also, I wouldn't want to... It's that risk of not getting any challenging storylines.
Mm.
though with a lot of the soaps, you do get a rotating cast of writers. So each writer is going to have a slightly different style, which might give you something new to play with. But, you know, maybe a nice Netflix series or something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I might be able to help you out with that.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Thank you.
We'll see how we get on with that. Now, let's get political.
Okay, go ahead.
You've got your Irish background.
I do, yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, there's a big issue at the moment with Brexit.
Uh-huh.
From an Irish point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although you don't sound Irish, I would like to point out your twang is gone.
Well, I've been here since I was 3 and a half.
That's the reason why it's gone.
That, and also when I went to drama school as a kid, I had my pronunciation corrected quite a lot.
Yes, you have to sound quite posh these days. Ta-ta-ta-ta.
Well, no, I think I lose a lot of jobs because I sound too plummy. And, like, you know, like, it just varies. And so when I'm speaking in an official capacity, it gets much, much plummier. I think maybe it's nerves. And then when I'm with mates, it will just drop down to just being Northwest London.
What do you think is going to happen with the Irish backstop?
Oh, God, we are getting political. This is very tricky. I don't know. I don't know how they can make it work.
No, it has to stay as it is, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, creating a hard border...
it's not going to work.
...will create tensions and fallout that would just... is completely unnecessary and unavoidable if they just... drop Brexit entirely.
Yeah. If only. I'm just wondering, what changed for you as a childhood? What changed dramatically for you?
I mean, it's a tricky one. I think there are very different circumstances when it happens when you're a teenager, because your life is kind of in flux anyway. I couldn't go back to my old school. It was a Victorian building in central London. I had to find a new sixth form, so I had home tuition for about a year after I came out of Stoke Mandeville. So it was different. I didn't want to see my friends initially, so I kind of kept that. And it wasn't that I was depressed or anything. I just had so much going on that I couldn't do teenage small talk. It just seemed so irrelevant to me. Because so, I'd grown up.
Yeah, so watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer went out the window.
Buffy hadn't come yet. predates Buffy, sorry. I'm afraid. Yeah, it's a tricky one. And also, I was always... very feisty and independent. Mm. So it was kind of a, well, let's crack on with this then.
Yeah. This happened to me, and I don't know if I don't know if you can relate to this. When I became disabled at 32, I was pushed into archery, or I was pushed into something to do with the Paralympics.
Yeah.
Now, for me, I went down to the archery field, got my 252 in the first week. For anyone who knows what that is, it's your first qualification. And I've got cracking archery skills because I've got a natural ability of coordination, which was ridiculously good. And I said, oh, you could be a Paralympian. But it was boring. I'm just wondering, were you ever pushed down that field?
It wasn't like I was pushed down that route. And this is a massive bugbear for me. This is no disrespect to Paralympians and what they achieve. It's incredible. But I don't think that is the pinnacle of what disabled people can achieve, and I don't think people who work in, you know, 100 other industries don't get the same recognition. And, you know, sometimes just, you know, getting your arse out of day going to work every day is equally as exhausting or determined.
I can agree with that, it's knackering.
Whereas, I mean, I competed in the interspinal unit games in swimming. So I did that, I did archery, I did pool, I did fencing. I'd done fencing before my accident at school, and I really enjoyed doing fencing in the chair. I wasn't that good at basketball because my injury is too high and I don't have the core for it, but I loved wheelchair rugby, and I used to play that at Stoke Mandeville. But the problem was, once I came back to London, and I grew up pretty close to central London, none of those facilities are there.
No.
So there was no way I could carry any of those things on. You know, this was the late 90s. None of this was accessible.
There was
no chance.
Late 90s is nothing around the country.
No.
It's very...
nothing. You know, I only got to swim on my summer holidays.
Yeah. I called up a club a couple of weeks ago because I thought, let's try badminton.
Yeah.
There's no disabled facilities for disabled badminton.
No, exactly.
In the club. There's like 20,000 clubs up and down the country and there's not one disabled one.
Yeah, I keep intending to return to fencing because I did find a fencing club near me. And I would like to get back into that.
You have a blog.
I do. It's pretty inactive at the moment, but it is about to be relaunched.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been reading it.
Okay.
It's very personal.
Sometimes I'm a little bit too honest.
That's all right. But, yeah. Honestly, I quite enjoy reading it, to be honest.
Only quite?
Yeah. I mean, there's a big gap between, like, 2018 and 2012.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Life got busy.
One of the things that I... Okay. And I could relate to it quite easily, is You complained that you apologised for everything.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've taken a note. Just going to go to my notes.
I said sorry a lot.
No. I apologise for being in a wheelchair space.
Yes.
Yeah. But why are you apologising for being in a wheelchair space?
Do you mean like in a parking space?
Well, yeah. It says, what you have apologised for, wheelchair space, people texting on iPhones, that annoys me.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's when they're walking down the street.
Yeah, they don't look up.
They don't look up. I actually shout, look up.
Yeah.
Yeah, not watch out. Or I've got...
So you're very polite, you say look up, I say look up, and then as they walk past, I say twat.
I haven't tried that. Yes, I haven't done that yet. I might try it. Then you've got squeaky wheels in the library.
Yeah.
That's fun for me.
I feel so self-conscious. And I think, oh my God, why didn't I pump these bloody tyres up before I came out? And I got going to a really quiet library. And it's like...
I got thrown out of Marks and Spencer's for going too fast.
You rebel.
I know. I was.
Anybody make a joke about speeding?
Well, of course, the security guard did. Yeah, absolutely.
Someone did that the other day to me.
Slow down, you're going to get a ticket.
A friend, a relative's partner did that to me last week after we'd been drinking. Like, oh, we're driving. And I was like, please don't say it again, you're better than that.
Yeah.
It was just so disappointing.
And people do fall over you.
I haven't had any bad ones in a while, but I do think the walking and texting is going to lead to a collision.
Yes, it has with me a number of times.
Yeah.
People just walk over me, fall on me. I've ran over someone's foot. I've had them literally over my lap. It's, you know, I've got a bell. I've got this on my scooter.
You know. That's quite loud.
It should get people's attention. Do they pay attention? No, they think it's a bike. Next section.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
Mm-hmm.
This is quickfire questions about you.
Okay, right, yes.
Okay.
Shit, scared, but alright, let's
go. That's alright. Law, acting or modelling?
Acting.
Acting, I thought so. Nikki Fox or Sinead Burke?
Oh, no. No, you can't make me choose.
Because I saw lots of tweets of you going, Sinead's fantastic.
She is. Sinead is absolutely fucking brilliant.
Yes.
And Nikki's
And you're seeing Nikki at the weekend.
I am. She's a really close friend. I love them both. No, I can't. No, I'm not
come on,
picking.
Come on,
I'm not picking. I'm not picking.
No, come on.
No, I'm not picking. I'm not picking. I'm not picking. I'm not picking. I love them both.
Thin Lizzy or the Pogues?
Oh.
I am going to tweet them afterwards.
Oh, I don't know. That's really hard. I love the songs of both in different ways, different reasons, and band members in different ways and different reasons. God, Simon, these are really horrible choices.
I'm going to have to edit this bit out because you're taking so long to answer.
I know, I can't, because you did a quick fire. I can't do, give me questions I can't do as a quick fire.
Do you want to put the countdown clock on?
No, I can't pick. I can't pick. You give me the two hard, I can't pick.
Tony would love the countdown
clock. I can't pick. Particularly as I'm currently, like, I'm talking to people from both on two different projects, so I can't pick.
What projects are those?
I can't talk about them.
Oh, that's helpful, isn't it? Spoiler alert, you can't talk about it. Okay, let's go back to your Irish roots then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Guinness or Boddington's?
Oh, Guinness.
That's what I thought, yeah. Okay, we've already answered this. Irish passport or British passport?
Irish all day, every day.
Absolutely. Favourite band?
Because I grew up in a house with so much music, I never picked favourites.
If there was one CD you've got in your collection now, you're at home, who would you go and put on?
Well, they're no longer together, so I've got a favourite album, but the band are no longer together.
That doesn't matter.
The Frames.
Okay. Favourite film?
Gone with the Wind.
Aww. Now, here's one that's going to might catch you out, okay? Because I heard you're a bit of a geek.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Favourite disabled superhero?
I can't think of any.
Well, I've got Professor X, Daredevil, Thor, because he lost one eye in Infinity War.
Okay.
Cable, Cyborg.
Are there any women?
Not that high off.
Yeah, see? This is a massive problem.
Wonder Woman is not disabled.
Where are the superhero females?
Yeah.
Daredevil.
Now, you were in class.
I was, yes.
Doctor Who spin-off.
I was, yes.
Okay, favourite Doctor Who?
Jodie Whittaker.
That was almost predictable.
All right, closely followed by David Tennant.
Okay. Favourite companion?
Rose Tyler.
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it? Right, quickly moving on.
Yep.
Okay. This is what not to say to a person in a wheelchair, and it's to establish... if these have ever been said to you.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see what we got. What happened to you?
Oh, God, all day, every day.
Yeah.
All the time, in the supermarket, on a plane, anywhere, on a dating site. There is nowhere on earth that question will not be asked.
On a dating site?
Oh, fuck yeah. God, I could do an entire podcast just on the questions you get asked on dating websites.
Well, coincidentally, I wrote an article, do you actually tell a person if you are disabled.
Oh, what, on a dating site?
On a dating site.
I always do, but I think it's personal choice. Well, at some point you have to tell them what you're going to do, just like rock up, jazz hands. Surprise!
Absolutely. Hello, wheelchair! Why not?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I prefer to have it in the photographs, because as somebody who has been using dating apps, most men do not read the words in the profile. They are very much...
facial and what you see. Swipe left, swipe right.
Yeah, everything is based on what they see, and it's photographs. And you'll find I have done it previously where my photographs don't show the chair. Not intentionally, they just happen to not show the chair. And I realised that men weren't reading the profile.
Yeah. Can I have a go?
Actually, yeah. Yeah, I know, I have had that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, can you actually transfer from your chair?
No, I'm bound to it all day. That's why I love the phrase wheelchair bound, because it actually describes me being tied to my wheelchair. Yeah, no, I had that.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you need a hoist to come out, or
no?
No. I didn't know if you'd be serious.
No, no. Okay. Have I been asked? Have I been used a hoist?
Yeah.
No, I don't need a hoist.
No, okay. So you can transfer onto another chair.
Yeah.
Now, this is a controversial one.
I once transferred onto the lap of a quadriplegic.
Did you?
I did.
Was it Matt Hampson by any chance?
No.
Oh. He would have loved that. Can you have sex?
Oh, God, yeah, everybody loves asking that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you have sex?
No, I'm still a virgin. No, of course I can have sex.
Well, I wasn't asking if I could, you know, have a go. Well, I'm happily married. For people who, you know, people want to know if with disabilities can have sex.
Disabilities can have sex.
Yes.
Most definitely. And we enjoy it just as much as non-disabled people.
Mm. This is the one I like. What benefits are you on?
That's confidential.
Yeah. Well, why would you ask? You know, it's like being asked, what do you earn?
I actually haven't been asked that.
Have you not?
Oh, I was asked something similar on Newsnight once.
Okay.
Actually, it wasn't on Newsnight. It was, what did they ask? Oh, I can't remember what the question was. But it was something, it was about DLA and PIP, because they're not means tested. Hmm. If I was a millionaire,
you could still claim it.
Would I continue to claim it?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, no, of course I would.
Yes, of course you would. Yeah.
So, you know, but I said it's personal choice and I don't judge anyone that does or doesn't. The whole point is it's not mean tested until you create...
I love it. Pays for my car.
Yeah, same. I have my mobility car and it's my world, and I've had it since I was 16. Yeah. But until you create an infrastructure that allows me to live my life like a non-disabled person, then those rights, I mean, those payments are what facilitate our independence and allow me to contribute to society, have a job and pay taxes.
Yeah. Are you disabled or are you just lazy?
I haven't had that, but what I have had is, come on, get up and let me sit down. Which is a kind of a long nose night. Which is generally people who are waiting for a lift.
Yeah.
You know, outside, you know, elevators in a lobby. Mm. It's like, my legs are killing me, let me sit down.
Yeah.
And I just laugh. I mean, there are so many shitty comments I can make back.
Mm.
But life's too short.
Yeah. It's good to see you out and about.
Oh no, I haven't heard that one.
Have you not?
Oh my God, I think I'd hit someone for that. Oh God. Though I have had, all right, again, along that thread, I have had people, it tends to happen with medical professionals who, you know, when they're kind of taking down the first bio, whatever, they're surprised I have a job.
Yeah.
And then they're more surprised.
I get that. When I go to hospital appointments, and I mean, I've seen every doctor under the sun, and I'm under the spine unit in Sheffield. And they say, why can't you make the appointment? I'm a journalist. Oh, you work!
Yeah, the surprise work. That I can't take an appointment in the middle of the day, it's an inconvenience.
Yes.
Or that I might have another appointment to get to after them. So if they're running late, I find that anybody that provides a service for disabled people don't stick to times. It's like I couldn't possibly have another appointment to get to.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy. I remember when I moved to the States, I had a driving lesson to deal with switching over hand controls from the right to the left. And he was going to be running 2 hours late, and he called me 5 minutes before. And he genuinely didn't think that was going to be a problem. And I was like, are you for real? I've taken a day off work for this. Do you really think? And the thing is, for those who don't know, in American companies, you really only get about 10 days annual leave.
Yeah.
So leave is valuable. Because the fact that I'd taken a day off, and he was so blasé, I erupted down the phone in fury. It was like all the years of people messing around.
I can see you're quite feisty, so I can only imagine what the conversation would be.
Feisty and apparently intimidating.
Are you intimidating?
Apparently, yes.
But to whom?
To a number of people over the years.
In that case, then we'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Charlotte, you've been absolutely lovely. Thank you. Thank you for taking part in Wild Disabled.